I want to make it clear up front, I love Star Wars so much.
What's up, Internet? You are listening to the Making Geeks Podcast, the podcast for makers, families, and geeks. This is episode 203 and the first episode of 2021.
So, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
In February.
Yeah. We're off to a good start this...
Like 35 days late.
Man. I think now the year can get started, now that we're back. I think it was just waiting for us.
Well,
it's the new Chinese New Year, right?
Yeah.
We'll just start with that. That's being the beginning of the new year.
Right? There you
go. I don't know.
It did feel kind of like a long dry spell. Weasel.
It's the year of the weasel.
I wasn't going to comment on that. And keep your weasel to yourself.
You're talking about a dry spell? Yeah, sure.
Like I said, you know, we're families now, right?
Apparently. We're trying to be more diverse with our audience because we have a lot more people out there that are outside the Venn diagram of being a dad that are still listeners. So we wanted to be...
So should we talk about a little bit about why we're gone for so long?
Yeah.
All right. So after episode 200, we had talked about wanting to make some changes to the podcast because we've been doing pretty much the same thing for almost 4 years now. Over 4 years now, and thought we could use a little bit of a fresh coat of paint on the things that we're doing. So we have plans for changing up the podcast a little bit and doing different things for our episodes instead of just the same talking heads approach that we've done for the last 4 years. So we have a lot of new things we'll be adding. Our episode today is going to be a little bit more traditional in terms of just, you know, covering a topic and talking about some geeky stuff. But starting next week, we have some other things planned. And you know, we have a new website that's up and running. We have a merch store, and that'll be getting different things over the course of the next, you know, 3 months or so. And yeah, so expect some changes, some pretty big changes, but also some things being familiar. Just hoping to have a little bit more fun and change it up and kind of keep it going.
Yep. I'm excited about it.
I am too.
If you out there in listener land enjoyed when Donovan would do the different games that he hasn't really done since he joined the podcast for some weird reason, thanks a lot. We're leaning into that a little bit more, not specifically just for Donovan to do that, but more of having fun doing different sorts of activities than just sitting here, like I said, with talking heads. So we're just changing it up. If you don't like it, write us an email. Tell us why you don't like it. And we'll probably not feature it on the show. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've never been so excited about a Excel spreadsheet before. That is to say, all of our plans that we've been making have been on this shared Excel spreadsheet. I guess I have to explain
Google Sheet specifically, but yeah.
Google Sheet specifically. But I'm excited. We've put a lot of information on that and into that. It may seem business as usual compared to, you know, our last few episodes, but it's definitely going to change.
We're also going to have some new stuff that relies more on the patrons to be participants in different ways that I haven't even seen other podcasts do. So I'm excited about that. So look for more postings on those coming up soon. We don't want to reveal all of our hands at once. I want to keep some stuff close to the chest, but yeah, we've got some cool stuff lined up.
Yeah. We've been working on these changes for about 4 months at this point, and we're still figuring a couple things out, but we're excited. And, you know, the whole goal is to have fun and hopefully all of you having fun being along for the ride. So
definitely.
Yep. A couple of rebranded things too. I have a new theme song that all of you will hear when you download the episode and listen to it on your favorite podcast player.
Oh yeah.
So, how have you guys been? Work on anything special? This kind of covers our makers portion of the show.
Working on a current video. I'm creating a digital chore tracker. So, us parents, we're familiar with those either dry erase boards or sticker charts and things with all the different days of the week. you know, in one axis and all the chores for the other axis, and then different stars representing different things or magnets or what have you. And ends up being, in my experience, ends up being more effort for the parent to keep up with than just the chores themselves. Like, not only do you have to worry about the kids get doing the chores, because they typically don't, aren't very reliable as far as like marking their thing off, it ends up being like more for the parent to juggle than just the chore. So I wanted to see if there's a way I could kind of digitize it, bring it into the modern age with so many different microcontrollers out there and different types of sensors and everything, you know, being wirelessly connected to the network sort of thing. So I'm trying to see if I can leverage all that into like a fun little gamification of chores, I guess you could say. And chores isn't necessarily the right word. It's also for just like developing good habits as well. Like making your bed, you know, for kids, like making your bed, you know, clean, having your room clean, and other things that we ask for our kids to do. We like when they do, like they empty the dishwasher. That's the thing that we, they've been tasked with recently. And feeding the dog, and then playing piano and other things. Some coming up with different ways I'm putting buttons around the house that are wirelessly connected, kind of like the Amazon Dash buttons that were out a couple years ago. So when someone does a certain task, they hit a colorful red or whatever arcade button that wirelessly communicates to a Raspberry Pi, and the Pi is running some software that will keep track of whether they did it or not. And you can have like reports on a web page that'll show the status. You can have it communicate to Alexa, which I think I just made her angry because I said her name, and have her remind the person that, hey, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. I'm not sure if I'm going to really integrate that 100%, but there's just a lot of opportunities to sort of mix tech with this. And you could even have like a receipt printer attached to the wall with like stickers loaded into it, and it like spits out stickers that they could rip off, or, you know, like a dispenser to sticker. Wait, that's not a word. Sticker dispenser. things
sorry,
like that.
Sorry, I was picking up what you're putting
yeah,
down.
Yeah. I'm not 100% on all the details, like as far as like what the reward system is, but I mean, there's so many things you could integrate with this. It's kind of crazy. You could even have like a slot machine mechanic or something, I don't know, or you could have something dispense their allowance, you know, which would encourage them to hack in and break into the device that distributes the dollars. I'm not sure exactly, but I'm sort of formatting the video in a way where it's not a completed project. I'm taking the approach that James Brunton, his website or his YouTube channel, where he does like a lot of designs for like robots and things. He doesn't just do like an hour long video on this one robot. He'll kind of break it down into like components as far as like, I'm going to tackle this system today. Here's a video about this system, and develop like a playlist of how he built the Hulkbuster, or how he built this or that, and kind of not necessarily have it where you have to watch all of them in a row in a sequence, but they'll still be standalone, but all kind of part of a bigger Geeksmithing cinematic universe, if you will, of a project. So we'll see if that works out or not. I don't know. It sounds good on paper.
The GCU.
Yes, the GCU.
Yeah, the good old GCU.
Man, I can't remember where I saw it or who I saw it from. But along that same lines of what you were doing, there was a dad that had a plexiglass case that had money in it and a little combination lock in the top. And after you completed chores, you like put it in and it gives you a number. And you have to complete all the chores to get all the numbers to get the combination.
Exactly.
To get inside the combination lock to get the money. And absolutely, because they could see inside of the little safe, like it was more motivation because they're like, oh, I want that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, depending on if, you know, monetary incentive is what really gets your kids
sure
going.
It could be, I could get like one of those, I get like a giant gumball machine, like with the little track that the gumball goes down, or like some sort of, you know, giant mechanism, like a Plinko thing, mm-hmm. and just have like a certain coin that it dispenses. Here's your coin for the week, or I don't know what. There's like a million different things you could do with this idea.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, feed it in the machine and watch the little gumball go down so their teeth rot out you know, as they do their chores properly. Or, I don't know, reward them with Dogecoin, Maker's Portal sets. I don't have that kind of, I need some bigger sponsors if I'm going to do that. Because that's not a cheap coin now. But yeah, the other idea I had was like to throttle like their internet access as well. Either with a smart outlet that's physically padlocked to a TV, and then I can like, you know, have that smart outlet be controlled by the system.
I think it'd be fun if you could switch it between dial-up and then DSL and then your Google Fiber.
That's funny. Yeah, their internet speed gets throttled accordingly to how many chores they've done.
14.4 until you get all your chores done.
Yep.
You just pump that annoying dial-up sound over like Alexa while they're online. What is that sound? No, there's all kinds of possibilities. I think that's part of it too, as I want to engage the audience and kind of query them, ask them like, hey, here's how far I've gotten in this project. What would you do, you know, for the next step? Would you do this? Would you do that? How would you design the next part? And sort of hopefully use some of their ideas as well in the projects as it evolves. And sure, instead of showing the end project, necessarily show the process, which you can get a lot more out of and almost do a deeper dive in a way without having to have the requirement of watching everyone.
I think a lot of parents would be curious to see, like, after a month, what has been the result?
Yeah.
And how is it being used, and has it been effective in getting your kids to be a little bit more autonomous with their chores?
Right. The coolest one that I've developed so far, and this was the easiest one to implement, surprisingly, I got a vibration sensor from Amazon, and I wired this in to a ESP8266, which is a little Arduino Wi-Fi board, and stuck it in the back of the piano. So when she plays notes, it vibrates the thing and registers a signal that it sends. And basically, if it registers so many signals within X amount of time, I know that she played the piano and did her piano practice for 20, 30 minutes or whatever the threshold is that I set in the program. And so then the light comes on automatically once she crosses that finish line. So that's kind of cool. And that does work, which I was.
Yeah, that really goes heavy into the geek part of geeksmithing.
Oh, dude. Yeah, absolutely. And I was like trying to stomp on the floor and like hit on the wall and other things around it to see if I could like trigger it without actually playing the piano. And it completely worked. And if you play like as soft as you can, it won't trigger. But if you play at a normal volume, it'll almost like 98% of the time it worked, which was pretty sweet. And I think it made Samantha kind of mad because she knew she wasn't going to be able to get off, you know, saying like, oh, I practiced for like 30 minutes and there's no one around to listen to her, you know, if I'm working in the basement or what have you. So, oh yeah, it's on.
Well, just watching, she's old enough to create a device to automatically hit a key.
Oh no. Yeah. Exactly. Or she'll get like a vibration generating device, we should say, to have it falsify the readings or something like that.
I have a love-hate relationship with every time you talk about the projects that you're working on, because I love hearing about how cool they are, but I hate how inept I feel every time you talk about the stuff you're working on, because I'm like, man, that was way over my head.
You just got to jump in somewhere.
I do.
Well, the thing is, like, one of the things I'm working on is a chore chart for my kids, but it is so not like everything that you just talked about. I'm just like, oh, man. Now I need to try and make it better so it's cooler to try and keep up with Wes because of how awesome his stuff is. Thanks for the inspiration. I hate you.
You're welcome, jerk.
Besides an analog, boring chore chart, are you working on anything else, Donovan?
Yeah, I'm finishing up my mini maker movie theater, or mini Muppet movie theater. I don't know why I said maker. Mini Muppet movie theater. Because if you've been watching my story, I really haven't posted on Instagram a lot in the past month, and I feel super bad about it. But if you have seen what I have posted, I am making a mini movie theater that you can slide your phone into and watch movies on, because I miss going to the movie theaters with my friends and watching movies. So I'm like, if I can't do it in real life, I at least want to fake it. And so I'm working with Aaron again from SketchUp, and we are recreating the Muppet Theater in miniature form that you can slide your phone into. And in the seats, I want to put all of my friends. And so I put the call out for people to send me an upper body shot of themselves that I'm going to rasterize and cut out and put in each one of the seats. So I can have a movie theater full of my friends in each one of the seats, put a cell phone in there, and we could all watch a movie together.
It's amazing.
Faking it because I can't do it in real life.
What was the name of the two old guys used to kind of like heckle?
Statler and Waldorf.
Are you going to have pictures of them up in the balcony on the sides?
Yep, on the right side. And then on the left, I cannot for the life of me remember. Statler and Waldorf was on the right, and on the left was the chickens? Gonzo, who was on the left? Anybody out there that's listening that knows Muppets better than me?
I don't know that. I should know it.
You should know that. Okay, yeah. in the Muppet Theater, you're looking at the stage, there's Statler and Waldorf up on the right, always, you know, heckling, doing it. And on the left, in the, what do they call it, the box? The
penguins?
Was it the penguins? The chickens? It was something or somebody. I can't remember who it is, but I haven't decided who to put there yet until I find out who should be there. But so everything else Sweetums. Is... Sweetums? Was it Sweetums?
Wasn't Sweetums a Warner Brothers character?
No. Yes. Yes, actually, but it's a different character.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's like the big furry dude that looks like he does, like most doesn't belong with the Muppets.
Sweetums.
He's like a oaf kind of.
Cars.
Yeah. Some of the Muppets are so random that I don't know how half of them got in there. They just seem like they don't fit in the universe. You know, they're just like out there, which sometimes is awesome, but sometimes I still am like, what?
Yeah. So that's that in the chore chart. And I'm also coming up with a labeling system for our pantry with characters from... There's an old NES game called Panic Restaurant, which I frustratingly loved to death when I was a kid. I'm taking characters from that game, incorporating them into little labels to put on our pantry shelves with a little black blackboard insert that you can remove and write, you know, what's on a particular shelf, because our pantry is so unorganized. And it's one of those things where I wanted to make something to make a video out of to, you know, improve my house a little bit, which we sometimes do as makers and parents and geeks.
What is the temporary deadline for your thing? Are you trying to synchronize it now that you know that Muppet Show is coming out on Disney Plus?
I wanted to have it out today to have links and pump out our return of the podcast. Mm-hmm. But now that I've missed that deadline, I don't quite have one yet. When does it come out?
I think
on Disney
on the 18th.
Plus? On the 18th?
I think so.
Okay.
Ish, something like that. The first three or five seasons, I think they said.
Okay. I might do a video before that, but that would be a good release date to incorporate, you know, the release of The Muppet Show.
I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, me too.
So I just put out a video about a week ago about a process of engraving tiles and had a lot of fun doing that. And in fact, I've been doing almost like an engraving or two every day for the last 2 weeks, trying to refine the process and just, I don't know, having fun with it. And I'm also finally drawing up my plans for it's a custom chess set, but it's not a typical chess game. It's called All Queens Chess. It's a very kind of reduced version of chess, and it's really kind of a game of Connect Four but using queens from chess. And I had the plans to make my own custom version of it for probably at least 6 months now, but I finally came up with a design that I like that I'm going to be going forward with, so I'll be building that over the next week. And that's pretty much what I've been working on.
Very cool.
Thank you. So today, getting back into our geeky form, we thought we'd do a little bit of a spoiler cast for a couple things that have been out. And you know, there's not a whole lot to choose from at the moment. So I guess it kind of makes sense to talk about these things that are highlighted most, which is Mandalorian and WandaVision. So if you have not seen either one of those, especially the end of The Mandalorian, might want to shield your ears a little bit. And then we'll also give you fair warning, too, before we start talking about WandaVision. Although that one's still in, you know, airing, so we're not even sure about all those things there. So we might actually interject a little bit more speculation on that property. I think Wes has some theories that he's going to
bestow
upon us. Yeah. So I think one of the last episodes that we did before our break was talking about The Mandalorian. I think it was the first half of the third season. Wait, no, second season.
Second season.
Second season.
And but now the Mandalorian, the show is officially wrapped up after the second season. Ended with a pretty big fanfare of something. And I don't know, what'd you guys think?
I know Donovan loved it.
Because Donovan loves it when they bring people back.
Mm-hmm. Do we want me to go? I can go first if we want to go first. I do have to say, I love Star Wars. I have to put that up front.
I don't believe you.
Every conversation we have about Star Wars. Because apparently when people hear me talk about Star Wars, they get the feeling that I don't love Star Wars. But
I wonder why they get that feeling.
I want to make it clear up front. I love Star Wars so much. But I also love good filmmaking. And sometimes those two things just conflict so bad. And so there were so many things that I loved about the last episode. And one thing that I hated so much. So I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I loved it, but I hated it at the same time.
Why did you hate it?
The second I saw the X-Wing flying across the windows, coming around to the ship, I knew who it was.
Sure.
And I was like, no. No, please,
but
no.
But why?
No, because I've explained this online, and I finally figured out my relationship to Star Wars. I've been able to quantify it in a way that I think makes sense to people. To me, Star Wars is that friend that peaked in high school. That every time you hang out together, they're always like, hey, remember that one football game? Man, that was awesome. Hey, remember our friends we used to have? Man, that was so cool. Remember that we did that one thing that one time? Man, that was just the best. And you like hanging out with them. They're your friend. You enjoy their company. But you wish they would move on and do something better with their life. Then spend their weekends watching reruns of the old, you know, homecoming football game. But that's all you've learned, that's all you can expect from them. And so to me, that is what Star Wars is like. They won't move on. And so they're always bringing things back to the original trilogy and to the Skywalkers, kind of effectively telling us nothing in this universe matters except for the Skywalker storyline. And so the second I saw that X-Wing, I knew they're bringing Luke in. And I was so upset because there's so many other options and so many other stories that you can use to expand this entire universe. But still, they're bringing it back to that original trilogy. And I was so mad. My wife is like, what's the problem? It's like, I know who's in that. And admittedly, I do have to say this. Admittedly, the scene of him taking out the Dark Troopers was awesome. Totally ripping off Rogue One, but otherwise, awesome.
Who would you have picked?
Oh, gosh. Ezra would be my number one pick, honestly.
They're already saving that for the Ahsoka series, undoubtedly.
I know. But like Ezra probably would have, to me, since they have already incorporated the storyline and characters, you know, from that series, Ezra would have been a great choice. to incorporate him into the Mandalorian, since they already brought in Ahsoka and, you know, references to Thrawn and the other Mandalorians. So it made sense. That would have been my pick. There are other picks that Andrew from the Dadalorian podcast, him and I always went back and forth after each episode, kind of talk about our thoughts and whatnot. And we had other theories and whatnot, but Ezra probably would have been my main pick. Or the one that him and I both agreed would make the most sense in terms of recognizability for people that haven't, you know, seen the Breakoff series would have been Mace Windu.
Don't say that.
Because
that's even worse.
I know it's even worse, but Disney already teased it 3 years ago at E3 when Mace Windu, you know, had that video where, like, apparently when a Jedi falls out of a high tower, they don't die, and everybody's like, so. But I
that would have set me equally as. Luke upset you.
Really?
Yeah.
You would have been as upset at
because that totally would invalidate, like, the final straw that broke Anakin that created Darth Vader, essentially. Like, that's the thing that flipped him at that moment. And so you take that away, and I mean, it's sort of, from a storyline perspective, it pulls the rug out from that character, from under that character, I think.
Yeah, it's not to say that they're beyond that.
True.
But I enjoyed the episodes. The touching moments between Din Djarin and Baby Yoda, I thought were fantastic.
Do you not also think, I feel this way, that they kind of spoiled that because you already saw the dude's face, like, two episodes prior or whatever? Like, what if they had saved that moment for that moment instead of,
yeah,
like, they already, like,
it would have been a lot more impactful if,
yeah,
the episode previous to that he hadn't spent half the episode with his helmet off.
I think that's a matter of perspective, though, because
but he didn't have his helmet off in front of Baby Yoda. Had never seen his face up to, yeah, that point.
That's the point I was going to make. I think it has to do with perspective, because we had already seen his face in the very first in the first season, where he shows it to the robot.
We didn't see it.
Yeah, we did.
No.
Yes, go back and watch it. We already saw his face when he took his helmet in front of the robot.
Well, if he didn't take his helmet off, the robot took his helmet off. We're going to get technical.
The hell, Donovan, same damn thing.
Well,
the point is the same.
Like, Din didn't take his helmet off. The robot took his helmet off.
The point of what I'm saying is that the audience saw the face. Who the hell cares who took the helmet off? We already saw his face in season one. We saw it again in season two when, you know, the scene with Bill Burr, and we see it a third time with at the very end of the series, or the series up until now. It's a matter of perspective each time. We are observers. We're not actually there as part of the story. So it may not have the same emotional impact on us, but it would have, you have to look at a different way of saying it. It would have an emotional impact on the character who he's actually facing. You know,
and the other Mandalorians.
Yeah. Well, everybody else there.
Yeah.
You know, we're in this weird omniscient position of watching this happening. And then, you know, our emotional reaction to it is questionable. In terms of our place in that scene.
Yeah, you're right. He did do that. I blocked that from my memory.
But that's one of the reasons why I brought it up, though, too, is that, you know, in the first season, you know, he's showing his face to a robot, which is not a live person. But, well, we're live, but we're also the audience. We are not an active part of the story. We're nothing more than observers.
Yeah.
Do you feel it was odd that he shaved his mustache in between the Bill Burr one and then when he showed it to Grogu? He had a mustache in that scene, and then he didn't.
What? Did I not notice that?
Yeah, he totally did. He had like a little
pencil. That's pretty bad.
Like a little pencil-y mustache. It wasn't huge, but it was totally there. And then he reveals it to Yoda and Grogu and totally did. I guess he didn't want to like skeeve him out, make him look like a 70s porn star or something. I'm not sure, but... It was pretty funny. But I thought I liked the Luke. Well, I watched it with my wife, and she didn't even know who it was after you saw him, which I was just like...
Because the CG was so terrible.
I had my head in my hands.
It was not like, that bad.
It was not that bad.
It was not that
bad. It could have been worse, though. Like, the deep fakes that I've seen afterwards look way better.
Right?
And I'm looking forward to when not Hollywood entirely. Actually...
Are you referring to the Corridor Digital one?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But
I know they made a lot of deepfakes made a lot of improvements, but I think the deepfakes can look equally weird in some scenes. If there was some sort of happy medium between the two, I think they'd have it. It is a little bit off-putting. It's still not quite there.
So expressionless. Like, it's just his face doesn't move. His lips move, but the rest of it, it's just... It was
that being said, the deepfake when they use Millie Bobby Brown's face on Leia is pretty seamless, even with expressions.
Yeah, I've seen deepfakes where they've gone back and Grand Moff Tarkin from Rogue One, they deepfaked him into that, and it's... You wouldn't be able to tell that it wasn't the actor rather than horrible CG.
Yeah.
So, it's possible. It's possible to do it in a way that is convincing and not terrible.
I still don't think it was terrible. You know, you're still doing it on a reduced budget, and to get even as close as they did, I think it's still pretty
impressive. I thought it was close.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's the best, and I'm not saying they couldn't do better. Just
it wasn't Tron Legacy bad.
No.
That was a full
budget. It wasn't the Scorpion King bad.
I think is the Scorpion King.
Good grief.
Let's remember that was kind of like the starting point, and where we are now is actually pretty good.
You know, it's funny. At the beginning of season 2 of The Mandalorian, one of the things that I commented on was that I was scared of them bringing Boba Fett into The Mandalorian, because I worried if they're going to bring...
You complained about it the whole time.
I know. If they're going to bring Boba Fett in, it's going to take attention away from the Mandalorian, because everybody's going to be all about Boba Fett. That said, they made Boba Fett super cool in the one episode. But that also said, now that season 2 is done and Baby Yoda is out of the picture, like, it's hard to know where they're going with season 3 of the Mandalorian now that all the focus is on the book of Boba Fett. Because it's not like they announced it after the episode. It is part of the episode. Like, it is the final scene. We are no longer doing The Mandalorian. It is now the Book of Boba Fett.
Well, that's not entirely true. John Favreau came back saying that we would see The Mandalorian again. It actually might go between different Mandalorians.
Yeah, because Book of Boba Fett is supposed to be in between season 2 and season 3, bridging season 2 and season 3, right?
I don't know if it's going to bridge. I just know that I don't know if they're going to connect at all. I would imagine they would, but
there's still a lot we don't know. Without Baby Yoda, I don't know how they can continue this series. I really don't. I love The Mandalorian, and I love everything that they've done. Not everything that they've done. I love what they've done with The Mandalorian over the last 2 seasons. But that said, the linchpin in this entire series is now out of the picture.
Maybe that's a good thing. Because it's called The Mandalorian. It's not called The Little Weird Creature.
Maybe.
Wes, you know, you're starting to talk about the scene with Luke, and I think I cut you off.
That's okay.
Did you end up liking it? Do you like it? How it ended?
Yeah, I thought he could have had, aside from the visual thing, I thought he could have had a little more personality. Seemed kind of robotic.
It was limited.
But that's a minor quibble. I didn't think it could be anybody but him. But I didn't think they would do it. So I was surprised from that perspective. I mean, because everything in the other movies that are supposed to happen before this, I mean, he's really the choice, right? And then what you find out about it, you know, the temple and all that stuff since Return of the Jedi is that he would be the other person on the end of that line, like when he did that seance or whatever.
Yeah, given the timeline, it seems like he would be the logical choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would go there. I was surprised and impressed that they did.
And in some ways, and as disappointing as the situation is, I would almost like to look at this as like his swan song, because it is what you know, I've wanted to see for 40 years in terms
I've never seen him be an awesome fighter.
Nobody has. And that's why I think that.
Yeah, exactly.
The creators are so adamant in wanting to do it this way and make it him and not somebody else, because it's not going to happen otherwise unless you play a video game where, you know, sure. he might be able to do it.
Yeah.
I was also going to say that I don't see them bringing him back again, but here's the, you know, the one side where Donovan might be right is, you know, you never know who could possibly come back. And you guys will hate me for saying it because you guys already expressed some dislike in this, but I actually was hoping to see Mace Windu. But mainly for one reason, because I wanted to see him with a big old gray Gandalf beard and like beat up and war-torn.
That'd be cool.
I wanted the visual of that is really what I was looking forward to.
Like they did with Boba Fett?
Better than that.
Dad
Boba Fett's got the dad bod going on. Dad bod.
Yeah.
Which has got to be pretty hard to pull off on a desert planet without a whole lot of resources.
So, that said...
How bad off could he have been, you mean?
He must have been eating Sarlacc for 30 years.
So that said, what did you guys think of WandaVision? Or what do you think of WandaVision so far? Because we're only three episodes in? Four episodes.
All right, so let's go ahead and make that transition then. Yep. And if... for anybody listening out there has not seen WandaVision yet or has not quite gotten to what episode four now,
yep.
You might want to kind of skip over the next 20 minutes or so and pop back in or listen to the episode again after you've caught up with the show.
Or I can't if you're in the live stream. You might want to.
Yeah, or if you're in the live stream. Yeah. Which is kind of a. We want you to stay on listening, but we also don't want to spoil the show for you. I don't think there's a whole lot to spoil yet. But I have a feeling that Wes is more informed than I am on some things. So, you know, it is a possibility. So, you've been warned. Okay. So WandaVision.
I love it. Give me more. I grew up watching a lot of those shows on Nick at Night.
Yes.
And, you know,
I was right. You recognized all the houses that they've been in?
Yeah. For the most part.
Yeah.
Let me kind of preempt something really quickly. I'm part of a couple different groups online. I think I know that the group that Wes runs online, a lot of people were really expressing their dislike of WandaVision, which of course is their right. But I don't think a lot of people actually get it, because whenever you critique something, there's a lot of people that simply say something is trash or isn't good. Which I don't think is ever a completely fair assessment. You can say you don't like something, but that doesn't automatically mean it's trash or not good. I think there's a separation that needs to take place a little bit more in a lot of these conversations. Or you could say it's simply not for me. I think a lot of people don't get what they're trying to do. I personally like...
What do you think they're trying to do?
They're changing things up and they're changing the formula. I think there's another reason behind it. I don't know what that is yet, though. I don't know the full reasoning understanding. But... I like the tactic of taking something and putting it in like this weird alternate reality that is not just like a multiverse type thing, but you know, this emulation of the ideal perfect life, something that she has never encountered or lived in. And how much more perfect can you ever get than this emulation of TV in the 1950s and 60s? And Wes, you already said that you grew up watching a lot of this stuff. So did I. And I know that we both had very interesting and in some cases not ideal childhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up watching the picture perfect family on the TV that I was never part of.
Yep.
And it was a very, very interesting experience. So I kind of imagine that Wanda is doing that same thing. She's creating her perfect environment because her life has been hell.
Yep. That's the only exposure to a perfect life she had was in Sokovia. Watching these crappy reruns, that's all she could get, you know?
Yep.
What do you think? I so far, I love it. What do you think, Donovan? You like it?
I am enjoying it. I do have to say that. I've been trying not to be too critical of it because I'm learning my lessons from the Star Wars universe and trying not to be too critical of it. But it's funny because I think they're trying to do to the MCU with WandaVision what they did to Star Wars with The Mandalorian, where they're mixing it up, like you said, Sean, and bringing new elements into already established universe. But since Mandalorian has become this jumping board off for how many new series? Ahsoka's getting her own series. Boba Fett's getting his own series. Like, there's 8 spinoffs that are now coming off of off of Star Wars, off of The Mandalorian. I think we can expect that for the MCU, that everything that's going to happen inside this little bubble in WandaVision is going to be the precursor to 8 more spinoffs in the MCU. So whatever they do inside this world is going to introduce character, which are then going to get their own spinoffs. And that's that's what I think they
do. Your tone is suggesting that that's a bad thing, though.
Yeah, it's objective. I wouldn't necessarily say like the spinoffs per se, but for other movies that are already planned, it could be the story elements that are kicking off a bunch of stuff. I mean, especially since the next Doctor Strange movie is the next MCU thing to come out after WandaVision finishes. That was supposed to come out before this, though. So anything in the story...
Have they switched so Black Widow is now coming after Doctor Strange?
I'm not sure about that now, actually. I think
Black Widow got confirmed to be being released to Disney Plus in the next 2 months or so. Or something like that, I think. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, you know, spinoffs and stuff like that. I prefer to look at it metaphorically, and I don't know, this is just for so I can better accept what's going on with these different franchises, but I think metaphorically that all these things that are being added in helps to make the universe feel a little bit more connected. So even though
That Disney owned Fox, could be even more connected because the X-Men can now be in the MCU. And what better way to bring in the X-Men?
Oh, they're totally going to bring in Quicksilver from the other franchise. I think that's going to be something they're going to do. The Quicksilver from the Fox universe.
Do you think they're going to reuse the same characters? I thought they were going to possibly just go their own route.
And I'm pretty sure I saw something about Evan Peters being spotted on set like a year ago or something when they were filming it. Not 100% sure, but it wouldn't surprise me. Because in the comics, that was the thing where she said no more mutants, right? Like some of the series that they're kind of loosely basing this TV show off of, she said that and eradicated mutants.
Yeah. Yeah, because Wanda wipes out
most
mutants on the planet.
So I think they might do the inverse of that, since that's what all the comic book nerds are expecting. She's going to be the mama of them. Yeah, it just blew your mind, right? Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. Then she has 2 kids.
She has 2 kids.
And one is like pseudo Quicksilver. I can't remember his name. It's not Quicksilver, but he's
in the show.
Tommy, right?
Tommy and Billy.
And the other one was like a boy version of Wanda.
Yeah.
Whose name I can't remember. Oh my gosh. I totally forgot about that.
Now, so something they haven't said explicitly, but you could kind of infer it, especially because of something that happened in the last episode, is that this series is taking place. They did kind of confirm it, right? It's post-Snap.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Because
episode 4. Which Snap? Second Snap?
Second Snap.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because before that, I wasn't entirely sure, but I think they've kind of solidified it now. So mm-hmm. we kind of know when we are. Relatively.
Yep.
But there's a couple things we still don't know. We don't know the why entirely. Any theories about what's actually going on or where this is going to lead? Because I have no idea. I'm not well versed in the Marvel Universe at all. I've never really read the comics. I mean, no idea.
You already brought it up that this is her creating her own reality.
Yeah, but that's just kind of
the tragic loss of Vision.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's pretty obvious at this point.
I believe in the comics, again, you know, there's only take it with a grain of salt, but I believe like Mephisto had something to do with her having kids. And that was part of his scheme is to like take her powers.
I don't even know who that character is.
Yeah.
He's basically a devil character. And I think this, a lot of people are suspecting that he's causing a lot of this stuff, because, and also the next door neighbor, Agnes, you know, the she's like, hey kids, and she busts in, hey, yeah, you know, yeah, that neighbor, she, I believe, is Agatha Harkness, which is a character that is also in those comics, that's a witch, basically. And so the other things that point to that are when they showed in the trailer so far of them trick-or-treating, yeah, with their children, she's dressed up in a witch costume. And Agnes is Agatha Harkness, like the beginning and end of that squished together. Agatha Harkness, Agnes. So like her character name in the show is Agnes. And when, wow, the Jimmy Woo has been like piecing together all the different people, her and him and Darcy, like in the episode 4, where they're like, oh, this person is this person that lives in the town or whatever, like most of the inhabitants of this sitcom reality or sitcom verse or whatever are inhabitants of East Westview, whatever, except they don't have an ID on the Agnes character because she's not supposed to be there. And also the Dottie character, the person that was in charge of the pool meeting or whatever, like the community meeting, she's also not, she doesn't have an ID on her either. So some people thought that she is in control of it because she said the devil's in the details, and that's not the only place that she is, or he is, or he is. And Mephisto is like a devilish type character, and typically in the comics, or traditionally, he tricked Wanda into having the kids, and then she ends up finding out that the kids are not actually real, and then that's where she loses her mind, basically. So that's one of the popular internet theories.
But in one of the trailers, the neighbor was like zoned out in the car, right,
until Vision
comes up and touches her, and she's, yep, like, am I dead?
No, you are.
It's like, why would you say that? Well, because, yeah, you are.
Yeah. I think he's going to go around awakening all these different people because they're all under Wanda's control. They're basically like puppets or drones, because there's a lot of references to bees too. I'm not sure if she's supposed to be the queen or not, but like there's been tons of hexagons imagery all over, like since, yeah, the first episode.
And although then they did send in that, what, the initial drone, which then turned into, yep, like a 1950s toy. But then they've been sending in like a bajillion drones, but we haven't seen any of those.
Right, because that's like apparently after, or maybe she hasn't seen them or something. I don't know. Because I think she, like Wanda's been distracted with having the kids, and she has been losing control over her control over the other people. That's why the Herb character was like, I think, sawing into the wall, like breaking the fourth wall.
She couldn't get rid of the stork.
Right. But he was like stuck and he couldn't move. And he was like, ha ha. Because like she's, if you think of like a puppet master, you know, like she only has enough attention to do things over here. Yeah. And he was like stuck cutting the bushes and just kept going because her mind was derailed at that moment.
And if I remember correctly, we haven't been seeing outside of the town in real time in comparison to what's going on in the town. I think there was a little bit of a mismatch in terms of the, you know, the correlation of the times. Yeah.
Episode 4. Yeah. They've been like jumping around.
Yeah.
I do like what they were like when they showed, what's her name? Monica. Rambo, like how she like reappeared in like all the chaos and stuff.
Yeah,
that was a, you know, that was a neat kind of, it almost reminded me of like Walking Dead or something. Like when, if you guys have watched that series, the main character wakes up in a hospital in the middle of this zombie like pandemic. And so like the entire hospital is like crazy and overrun and stuff's happening. That's what it reminded me of. Like, she just like wakes up in the middle of this, all this chaos. And, it was a nice contrast to like the Spider-Man, is it Far From Home, where the people, yeah, like the kids reappear in the gym and like people, yeah, slamming. Yeah. It was kind of, instead of a jokey way to interpret it, it was sort of more of a serious, like Marvel way of interpreting like all these people coming back and stuff. And I thought it was cool. But I need to mention that I showed it to my 10-year-old daughter and my 6-year-old son. That, see, they've been watching the series, like we would watch the episode and then go back and watch it with them later on. And so I showed them the episode, and as we got through that opening sequence with after, you know, post snap stuff with everyone rematerializing and they do the credits, the opening credits or whatever, and I stop it and I'm like, Samantha, do you know what's going on? She's like, I don't really know what's going on. I was like, Grant, do you know what's going on? Well, when Thanos snapped, everyone disappeared. And so then Hulk snapped. And he was like completely 100% like on the money, knew exactly what was happening. And I was just like, yeah. It's like, well, Hulk snapped, and everybody reappeared. And this is right after he did that. I'm like, yep, you're exactly right. So it's a proud dad moment right there. But I'm excited with seeing with where it's going to go.
Yep. And then next month, we've got a new series coming out, too. So we could kind of keep this Marvel train rolling.
We do. And I looked up while we're discussing this. And according to the interwebs, the Doctor Strange movie comes out in March and the Black Widow comes out in May.
I didn't realize that the Doctor Strange movie was coming out that quick. I didn't even know they were done filming. Interesting.
So wow. I think they've
been Black Widow was supposed to be the jumping point off of phase, yeah. What, 3?
So Black Widow must not be as connected.
Yeah. I think.
Or they're changing it.
I mean, what if Doctor Strange shows up at the end of this series? Because Wanda loses her mind and she ends up being a villain for his movie. I think that'd be cool. We haven't seen that mix. Yeah. Exactly, basically. I mean, once she finds out either the Vision's dead for real, or her kids are not real, or anything like that, like she's gonna like really go off the deep end.
She already knows Vision's dead.
She does, but she's not letting herself believe it.
She's in denial still.
Yeah. Hmm. Like when they did that cut back to him with his like face smashed in, that was pretty crazy.
I think that was a pretty revealing moment too, mm-hmm. for the audience to understand what was really going on. It answered a looming question in that one quick second.
Yeah. Did she capture his body? And is she like, is she doing like a Weekend with Bernie's with him? Like puppeting him around, or, you know?
Oh, that's horrific. That is a horrific
thought. Well, he has his personality.
He seems to be independent of her.
Yeah, he does seem to be independent of her because he is suspicious that something is going on.
Do you think it's from like the link with the stone that they have between each other? You know, there were several points where in the other series too where they were like they had more of a connection than a physical connection. You know what I mean? Like through that stone's powers, and so maybe part of his consciousness is in her mind or something. I don't know.
Because Jarvis is still in there, regardless of whether he's powered by the stone, correct?
I don't know about that. He looked pretty powered down. We went back and watched that sequence. Because my daughter is also like, why is he black and white or gray or whatever? I'm like, okay. And I'm like, Grant, why is he gray? He's like, well, when Thanos took it. She's like, he like completely went into it. So we watched that sequence of Infinity War to refresh my daughter's memory. And I don't know. I think he's pretty dead. I don't know. Mm. Unless Shuri reanimates him somehow, because she's like the next Tony Stark equivalent in the universe now, right?
Seems that way. So aside from Marvel and Star Wars news, anything else you guys are geeking out about?
Did you figure out what you're geeking out about, Sean?
I'm just going to go ahead and bring up what I talked about before, since I have it right here. I came across an animated film. DC has, aside from their movies, they've actually had a really good run of really good animated movies they've done. And I came across Batman versus the Ninja Turtles. And it's amazing. I've watched it. It's a lot of fun. I'm actually really impressed by it. And so much so that I even bought it. So if anybody's interested in either one of those properties, that kind of crossover, I thought was really cool. And I don't know, give it a shot. It was a fun watch.
I'm geeking out about a piece of technology. I got a deep tissue massager. It looks so, doesn't look right. Bob and Brad. But it's one of these things you put different like heads on and you could like really get in there and break up the muscle tissue.
You're making things sound worse.
I know.
I mean, who is Bob and who is Brad?
Yeah.
Well, what are they doing
on your back?
But oh my gosh. There are certain things that I've noticed in life that once I have this moment of why didn't I get this sooner? Because it just changes everything. Like I remember that when I first got an electric toothbrush, I'm like, why did it take me so long to get an electric toothbrush? This thing is amazing. Or like a cell phone or just stuff like that. This is another one of those things. It's I'm usually like sore all the time because my wife and I try to work out every day. And, you know, just with my job and, you know, everything that I do around the house and with the kids, I'm usually sore all the time. This thing has been fantastic. I love it, regardless of the pseudo implications of how it looks and everything and talking about it, whatever. It is amazing. I am geeking out about it regardless.
Let's see, myself, I'm still geeking out about being back home. For those that are following me on Instagram, I've only been back home a month. I went, it was mid-October, I went to Wyoming with my family for 3 months. We rented a house. Out there, had a fantastic time, like doing all the winter sportsy stuff with the kids while staying as COVID conscious as possible. We had a great time, but we did miss being at home, all the things we take for granted here. And so I'm still geeking out about being back. Although I have a lot of work to do in my workshop to get it back to usable status. So I kind of tore it apart getting things to take with me to Wyoming. So it's not quite usable at the moment. So I need to fix that. But yeah, I'm just excited to be back. Not as exciting of a geek out, but that's what I got. And I'm also geeking out about where the podcast is going. I'm looking forward to what we're going to do.
Yep, that's a good one. All right, so just the point in the show where I like to remind everybody that we do have a website that has been revamped a little bit and hopefully a little bit more streamlined to make it more usable for anybody that is looking to find the show online, and that is at makinggeeks.com. And on that same website, you can get a hold of us directly through our contact page, and you can go ahead and send us any suggestions or questions you have for us about the show. Right there on makinggeeks.com.
We didn't talk about this. Are we still doing our same outro?
Yeah, I guess. Let's do
okay.
it.
Okay. We are right. Now.
We're going classic. Old outro. Here we go. Each of us are active on social media, some more than others. Looking to myself. So if you want to see what we're working on individually outside of the realms of what we do together here on the Making Geeks podcast, Wes can be found over at Geeksmithing, Sean can be found at Geek Builders, and I can be found at Once Upon a Workbench.
And we'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of our patrons. They have been awesome during our break. We've loved interacting with them on our Discord server that we have just for them. We appreciate each and every one of you for giving us your support. It means a lot to us, especially our top patrons, Clinton, Jordan, and Square Splinter. Thank you guys for your support. We appreciate you.
And for those of you listening, thank you for joining us in the live stream. It's always fun having those direct interaction during the show and that little bit of a extra, I don't know if we can call it extra spice while we're talking and doing the show.
Oh, yeah.
And you could go ahead and find new episodes of the show every Saturday on your favorite podcast player of choice. So until then, until next time. Have a fantastic week.
See you guys. Glad to be back. We're still riffing.
Yep.
Yeah. We're warming back up.